Hi, my name is Mike. I consider myself an adventurer, a person who explores the whole world no matter what the destination is. Although, I must tell you the truth, I'm not your typical backpacker. I have some money that I earned from an inheritance, and I worked hard to increase it. And thanks to that, I travel to all my destinations by van or by taking a flight. Don't confuse me, I used to hitchhike. But after that dark night in a small Swedish town, let's just say I'd rather be made fun of than ask for a ride anywhere again. That night, I was much younger. I had finished exploring the town, and nothing it had caught my attention. I was ready for my next destination, but to leave, I was going to need a ride. I was hitchhiking on the outskirts of the city, and to my surprise, it wasn't a car that opened the door for me. It was a bus. A bus in the middle of nowhere? It seemed a bit suspicious to me, and even more so when they let me pass for free. But when I saw the bus was full, I was no longer afraid. If there is something that characterizes small cities and towns, is their kindness. Being someone from the city, maybe I wasn't used to someone doing something selfless for someone else. Relaxed, I went to a shared seat in the middle of the bus. Next to me, I met a girl who kindly let me on the window side. I told her there was no need, but she insisted, and to tell the truth, I wanted to see a bit more of the scenery, and since the girl lived here, I'm sure she was used to it. I just sat there, enjoying the ride, until I started to feel something strange. The girl next to me was staring at me. Her eyes were lustful, and her hand was on top of my leg. The girl approached me very suddenly. I knew that anyone else would have accepted, but I had a girlfriend and I didn't want to do something I would regret, so I pushed her away. At my action, she was surprised, but to my surprise, her smile got bigger. Before I knew it, I noticed that everyone on the bus was looking at me. Everyone had a big smile on their face. Their smile was not evil, it was more like generous. From one second to the next, everyone was talking to me in Swedish. I didn't understand what they were saying, but they all had very happy and cordial looks on their faces. I'm not going to lie to you, even though these people didn't seem to want to do anything to me, they were scary. I tried to tell them that I didn't understand them, but to no avail. These people kept talking and talking. They didn't even seem to be trying to understand me. One person made a shushing sound and everyone turned around. It was a woman in a robe. The person was very tall and imposing. She appeared to be over 6 feet tall. Her features were neutral and her skin too white. Her gaze was as generous and calm as the rest of the people. But unlike them, she seemed to speak to me with more conviction and in English.
"Hello, young man. My name is Dahlia. I don't want you to be scared. None of us are going to hurt you. They just seem to have made a mistake. You're not from here, are you?"
"No, I'm just an explorer. I asked for a ride back to town. This girl tried to kiss me and suddenly, everyone was talking to me. Everyone here is so weird. Is this a cult or something?"
"Ah, cult. What an imagination you have, young man. This is not a cult or anything like that. We are just people from the church in town. We were in the middle of an atonement trip. I saw how the driver invited you to get in. It seemed strange to me, but I didn't say anything, since I thought he knew you for sure."
"No problem. If you don't mind, I'll get out of here. Can you tell him that?"
"Of course. I can tell him, but I won't. If you do that, you'll interrupt our journey of atonement. No one can get off once we've started. It would ruin everything."
"Oh, and where does the journey end?"
"In the mountains, young man."
"And then we'll come back."
"You're so innocent. No one will come back from that trip. We'll throw ourselves down the mountains."
When the woman said that,
I thought it was probably a joke. Maybe I misunderstood. This couldn't be happening. Was I being part of a mass suicide? I was desperate to get off. If the door was locked, I would go out the window. As soon as I tried to escape, the girl gave some instructions in Swedish, and before I knew it, there were about 10 people grabbing me. The people threw me to the floor, and while some were holding my hands and feet, others were caressing me. They didn't do it in a violent or sarcastic way. They just stroked my head like a mother would do to her child to calm him down. I screamed as loud as I could, but no one heard my screams. I was trapped on this bus with these people who were prepared to take their own lives and drag me down with them. In an act of desperation, I pretended to calm down, and when the people were no longer holding me so tightly, I grabbed one of the girls and put the survival knife I was carrying to her neck. The rest of the people were still smiling. They still seemed oblivious to what was happening. I made my way through the bus to the back. Some people approached me. Others just looked at me from their seats smiling. Before I knew it, one of the people sitting on the bus jumped on top of me while another held the knife. The girl I was holding hostage bit my arm, and as I screamed in pain, I could only see the girl laughing at me as if knowing that what I was doing was useless. In a last act of rebellion, I shook myself with all my strength and rammed everyone I could on my way to my window, which was the only one left open. Attentive to my movements, some passengers tried to close it, but it was stuck. I took advantage of this moment to jump out before they managed to close it, and as I was falling down a slope, I could see the people on the bus waving at me. They all had huge smiles on their faces. The person who stood out the most was the tall girl, who waved to me as if she was saying goodbye to a great friend who was going on a trip. That was the last time I saw the bus or any of its passengers. When I returned to the city and reported everything to the police, a search was made for the bus. Initially, it was not found, but after a few days of searching, they found the bus and the passengers. All were dead after having fallen to the bottom of a cliff. Because of the distance the bus was from the fall, the police noticed that this was not an accident. Many of the passengers were smiling, but others died with a look of panic on their faces. In their last moments of life, it seems that they regretted it. As for me, I never hitchhiked again, and to be honest, I never took public transportation again, even in the city. When I tell people that I climb mountains but I'm afraid of public transportation, they all laugh. If they had gone through the same thing I did, they would be afraid too.
To begin with this story, I have to tell you one thing. I don't promote or support hitchhiking. I believe that riding with someone unknown or giving a lift to some stranger could lead to some serious danger, and this story will tell you exactly how dangerous it could be. While growing up, I had an aunt called Cindy. She was my father's older sister and the best person I knew. She was the most kind-hearted, gentle, and helpful person I've ever met. She believed in helping others more than anything. She was a good person who not only preached about karma, but also practiced it. She always said that if you do good, only good will come to you. Unfortunately, that wasn't true. Terrible things happen to good people all the time. Back when I was only a teenager, I always looked up to her. She was the eldest child of a relatively poor couple. My grandparents both worked in a factory to make ends meet back in the 1980s, when my aunt, my father, and their brother were little. It was really astonishing how brilliant she was since her childhood and how she made a good fortune for herself. And back in the 2000s, when I was a teenager, she was a proud owner of 2 photo studios. However, one of her studios was in the city we lived in, and the other was in the next town over, a 2-hour drive from ours. At least 2 or 3 days in a week, Aunt Cindy would drive back and forth between her 2 studios to make sure everything was functioning smoothly. Now, let me tell you, we live in Arizona, and this state is famous for Las Vegas and its deserts. So the road between the two towns went through a desert. Although Cindy was an expert driver and she had made this trip a million times before, we used to be worried about her whenever she used to visit her other studio. She was married and had two kids my age. So not only did her business need her, but so did her family. We often talked of how innocent and tender-hearted she was, and we always worried that people might take advantage of her. One afternoon, during the summer of 2005, she was making a regular trip back to town from her other studio. Now, summers in Arizona are especially hot. The temperatures are 100 degrees, and in the desert, it's batshit hot. On this trip, she was driving through the desert with her AC on full blast, when in the distance, she saw a man sitting by the road. As he noticed her car approaching him, he raised his hand and stuck his thumb out, showing the world-class sign asking for a lift. My aunt, being her too kind self, thought it was horrible for a man to be stranded in the middle of the desert in such heat. So she stopped the car in front of him and rolled down the passenger side window.
"How may I help you, sir? Do you need anything?"
she asked the man, who had now stood up and was standing by her open window.
"Yeah, actually, could you give me a ride into the city?"
Without thinking much, my aunt agreed.
"Sure. Put your bag in the back seat and hop in."
She unlocked the car doors for the man, and he sat in the passenger side seat.
"Thank you, ma'am. Thanks for driving me into the city."
"Oh, no problem, sir. And please, call me Cindy."
"Thanks, Cindy. I'm Paul."
"Nice to meet you, Paul. So, why are you in the middle of the desert without a ride? I hope you don't mind me asking,"
she asked him as she drove the car towards the city. They had a good 1.5 hour journey pending.
"Well, I could not live in my home anymore and didn't want to live in the same town anymore, so I decided to start fresh in another. But I don't have much money. Rather, I don't have any money. And that's why I'm hitchhiking in the first place."
Nodding her head, my aunt didn't pry into Paul's personal life anymore. Instead, they spoke of several other topics for the next half hour.
"What do you think about a pit stop? We grab some lunch and head back on our way,"
Cindy asked Paul when they had finished almost half of their journey.
"I'm good. You can go ahead and have your lunch. I don't mind waiting in the car or maybe out of it, however you prefer,"
Paul said, somewhat shyly and timidly. Cindy, of course, had a big heart and offered to buy Paul lunch and so.
"But you must be hungry. You walked so much in the desert before I picked you up. I bet you must be starving." "Oh, and don't worry about the money. I got you covered. My treat. Do you like hamburgers and Coke?"
Paul was floored. His cheeks turned slightly red and not from the heat. He nervously and reluctantly accepted her offer.
"Well, hamburger and Coke do sound good."
"We're settled then. Would you mind staying here in the car while I get us some food?"
"Sure. I'll wait for you in here."
Now, a normal person would say that it was her biggest mistake leaving her car with a stranger. But Cindy believed in good deeds and walked off towards the diner to grab him lunch. She not only bought a hamburger and Coke for Paul, but also packed some sandwiches and a few bottles of water for later, as she knew he had no money for food. When she walked out of the diner, her car was still there, and Paul was patiently waiting for her in it. When she gave him his order and the extra food, Paul was almost near tears. He accepted it and thanked her for it throughout the rest of their journey.
"It means a lot, Cindy. This is the first good thing someone has done for me in a long while. I really appreciate it."
"Oh, don't worry. I just don't want you to sleep hungry. I believe everyone deserves a second chance. And if you wish to start fresh, I'm just helping you in a small way."
Soon they reached the town, and Paul asked her to drop him off downtown, not far from my aunt's home.
"I hope everything turns out as you want it to, Paul,"
Cindy told him as he was getting out of her car.
"Thanks, Cindy. And I hope so. You're very kind. Also, could you please give me your number? I'd like to call you up and tell you if I make it."
Without a second thought, Cindy handed him a sheet of paper with her number on it.
"Here you go, and I would love to hear from you sometime."
With that, they both parted ways. Now, you may think this was the most wholesome hitchhiking story ever, but the true twist comes ahead. A few days later, Cindy got a phone call from an unknown number. She picked it up and...
"Hello?
Before she could speak a word more or inquire who it was, the person on the other end,
"Hey, Cindy. It's me, Paul. You gave me a lift last week. I hope you remember me. Now, I know you didn't expect to get a call from me so soon, but for last week, I couldn't stop thinking about you. You have no idea what you've done. I was at my lowest when you picked me up in that desert. I had totally planned to get into your car, rape you, murder you, then dump your body in the desert for the vultures to eat, then steal your car and get to the city. But instead, I met you, and you were so kind to me that I couldn't go through with my plan. I felt so ashamed of myself. I just couldn't do it to a kind and generous soul like yours. If you were so nice to me, I assume you're a lovely mother and wife, as you told me during our ride that you have kids and are married. I couldn't take you away from your family for my selfishness. And then you bought me lunch. My own family hasn't bought me anything in years. I was moved to tears by your kindness. And I didn't want to live in the city. I was looking for a fresh start because I had murdered a man just a couple of hours ago in that town, and I was on the run. But meeting you made me want to be nice. Buy someone lunch today. It's a long way for me, but I'm willing to try. Thank you once again, and I will not contact you after this, ever again. Have a happy life. And Paul hung up the phone. Cindy couldn't believe what she had heard. But a couple of days later, when she was back at her other studio, she heard the news about a murder and the suspect turning himself in. This story taught me both the power of kindness and to never let anyone hitchhike in your vehicle. I always stay away from hitchhikers, and so should you. Not everyone is as lucky as Cindy.